today,
Hello,
talking
to the East
about
Point Community Church
hope,
podcast with
Pastor longing
Chris
for that which is
we hope
yet
you enjoy this week's
to
Sunday.
Be. And this was on my mind a lot this past week. Just about all of you know, two Thursdays ago, we left Cincinnati and flew into Paris, immediately caught a train to Strasbourg, France, and we spent Friday at 8 a.m. is about when we got there. I guess that's when we landed. So Friday afternoon, by the time we got to Strasbourg, through Thursday afternoon, in what is known as, or what they claim to be, as the Christmas capital of the world. And you may be wondering why they claim that. It's because there are Christmas markets everywhere, in Strasbourg. And we left Thursday. Those Christmas markets opened on Wednesday. So, shockingly enough, we took advantage of those Christmas markets. But here was the crazy thing. The week leading up to that was an obvious week of we're there, but not yet. This is what I mean. All the little buildings that the vendors were going to be set up in, they were there, but the vendors weren't there. All the lights that would adorn the city were there, but they weren't lit. But everything was pointing to what would be. It was a city in waiting. A city in what we would call Advent. Waiting for that which is to come. And then Thursday, it all changed. It all changed for us. Wednesday night, I said Thursday, thank you. Wednesday, it all changed because suddenly all those lights that were hung in dark were alive and bright. All those vendor booths that were empty and closed were open and full of just glorious gifts from the Lord. I'm not talking about the stuff we bought. We bought some stuff. I am talking about the food and the drink, okay? And to be clear, I kept my Baptist hat on. We did not have any of the hot spice mulled wine, okay? But in the same little booths that they sold the spice wine, they sold spice juices. And they had apple juice, which, you know, you're like, oh, come on, that's apple cider. No, it's not. This is something otherworldly. They had this spice orange juice, which is amazing. And then the food. So, Strasbourg, you think I'm going off on a tangent. I'm not. This was planned. Raclette cheese is everywhere there. And it's, I don't know, you should go on a trip to Strasbourg for the cheese, okay? And there would just be these giant skillets full of potatoes and bacon and cheese. And it was, at one point, I had this braised pork shank that was pastorally speaking this big. Reality, it was this big. And a side of cheesy potatoes. And I'm just like, I thought the elephant ear was the pinnacle of fair food, right? I was wrong. They do things on a totally different level there, and it was glorious. But as great as that was, as I was thinking about the week, one thing jumped out at me. Strasbourg, Europe in general, is a very secular place. It is a place where Michael, and we'll share more about this Wednesday, but Michael said, oh yeah, that's a Protestant-ish church over there. Their pastor's a really godly man, knows Jesus, preaches the word, but they did a church survey and 53% of the church respondents said they believed in God. In the church. So when we celebrated Christmas, or when Strasbourg celebrated Christmas, on the whole, it was a Christmas without Christ. It was a Christmas of spectacle. It was a Christmas of the event. You would occasionally, at some of the booths, see some small nativities, but that was it. That was it. I remember back in the day when we would go to Disney World and Hollywood Studios, back then MGM Studios, and they had the Osborne Family Spectacle of Dancing Lights, and there were these lights, thousands of lights everywhere. Even in the middle of Disney World, there was a nativity scene. Not where we were. It was a Christmas celebration, hoping for something to come, but missing what that something would be. I read a quote this week on Twitter. The guy talked about a conversation he had with his adult son, and his adult son said, "Hey, Dad, you know how C.S. Lewis said in the Narnia books that in Narnia it was always winter, but never Christmas." Dad, he meant that Narnia was always waiting for Aslan to come. Always in Advent, always waiting for the king, for Aslan, the Jesus figure in the Narnia story, to come. And despite the workings of the witch, Aslan would indeed come and show them what was real and what was true. So today, as we kick off Advent, we are going to do our best to talk about how our hope is not in spectacle. Our hope is not in events, although, look, I'm not mad at events. I love that side of things, right? We have the tradition, we always go driving around certain neighborhoods looking at Christmas lights. I love our Christmas Eve service. I love all these different things that are a part of it. No one's saying that that's bad. What we are saying is what's bad is when we miss Jesus because of the events. We miss Jesus because of the spectacle. So as we start this Advent season, let me invite you to turn in your Bibles to a scripture that has already been read in part today, Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. And we are going to see how Jesus is the one who has been the hoped for Savior for the people of Israel and in turn the world. He is the one that would redeem us and save us. He is the one whose kingdom would come. So if you have your Bibles, Isaiah chapter 9, beginning in verse 1, just to set the context in a couple of verses here. "But there will be no gloom for her who is in anguish. In the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the later time he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond Jordan, Galilee of the nations." Verse 2. "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light." And then we get this shift in tense, where now it's like, okay, this is what has happened, but we're going to see at the end, this is the picture of what will happen. The picture of what God will do. And this is, when we talk about hope, friends, this verse gets it. "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light." Europe is a spiritually dark place, but we saw glimpses of light breaking through over there. Faithful believers proclaiming the goodness of Jesus. "The people who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them light has shone." Let's talk about hope for a second when it involves specific people. We're right to think about how Jesus is the hope of the nations, our hope, all these things. But sometimes we need to be reminded that Jesus is the hope, not just in a general sense, but in a specific sense. That there are people in your lives and in my life that we know are not just walking in darkness, they're walking in deep darkness. That they don't want anything to do with God. It's not just that they don't believe, but they're open to hear about. We saw several of those people. We heard about several of those people last week. Like, oh, sure, we'll have the conversation, right? Like, they were at least spiritually curious. But then there's another group. They only don't believe. They don't want to hear. You look at them and you think, oh, man, they're so far gone. They're so far in their rebellion that they want nothing to do with God. And that's right. They are. They are so far gone. But there's a difference between being so far gone and being too far gone. That God can reach into our deepest darkness and shine the light of Christ on it and bring people who were dead to life. And bring us out of our darkness, out of our rebellion. And this is what Jesus, the one who was sent by God, the one who Israel longed for would do. They dwelt in a land of deep darkness, and on them light has shone. Verse 3, you have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, and they are glad when they divide the spoil. So in verses 2 and 3, you have this picture of two completely different experiences. The first involves the deepest darkness, no joy, no celebration. The 23rd Psalm speaks of walking in the valley of the shadow of death, walking in the valley of the deepest, darkest places where I can't see what's going on around the corner. That's what verse 2 is. In verse 3, talks about celebration, joy, rejoicing, joy at the harvest, being glad. The people of God longed for a time when God would send someone to turn their mourning into dancing, to turn their darkness into light, to turn their sorrow into celebration. Verse 4, for the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken on the day of Midian. Verse 5, for every boot of the tramping warrior in battle, tumult, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. And then we get to just that amazing Christmas passage that we sing. Verse 6, for to us a child is born. To us, a son is given. I always try to remember that scripture was written for all people at all times, but first written to specific people in a specific time. And you think about the build up here, right? Darkness to celebration. Battle pictures in verse 5. And then we get to verse 6. A child is born. Probably not what was expected, right? Probably not. That's not the way I thought that was going to go. A child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And in this, we begin to see what this one would do, what this one given by God to the people to redeem and to save them would do. He would be the Wonderful Counselor, God in the flesh, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I can't talk about that. That's another week of Advent, okay? But you see what he will bring, and you see what he will accomplish to a people that walked in darkness. Verse 7, of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. We speak rightly of the kingdom of Christ, both the now and the not yet. That in Jesus, this one that Isaiah speaks to, prophesies about, the one who would be the fulfillment of all this, in Jesus, his kingdom would come here in this place. And we, if you are in Christ, if you have trusted in Jesus to be your salvation, to forgive you, to make you right with God, you are experiencing the peace of God. Yet we are experiencing it now, but one day we will experience it in its fullness. Today we have peace with God and tumult in our lives. It doesn't make the kingdom less real. It just means we long to see it in its fullness one day. We are a people waiting, who have gotten the deposit, who have received the gift, who have been redeemed, and walk in complete redemption today, yet long to be the people that walk seeing the Father face to face because of the work of the Son. We are a people in waiting to experience a time where we experience nothing but peace. We have peace now in the midst of our circumstances. But we are a people waiting to one day experience peace, because that's all that there will be. This is what Christ accomplishes. This is what the people of Israel long for, and this is what we who as believers have seen Jesus come now wait once again. Not for him to come and accomplish something. He's already accomplished what he set out to accomplish. Now we wait for him to come again. Now we wait for him to come again so that we may experience his kingdom in its fullness. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth, forevermore. We could probably spend a decent amount of time talking about our longing for justice, particularly here, righteous justice, and our hope in Advent is that Jesus came in righteousness in the fullness of time to save us, to give us his righteousness so that we can stand before the Father as people who are justified before God. And as people who have been justified, standing before God in the righteousness of Christ, we long and look forward to a time where we know that God will make everything right in perfect justice. Any of y'all look at the world and think, man, this is pretty messed up? I don't know how many of y'all watch the news, watch Twitter, wherever you get your news, X, whatever it is now. We were in Europe, and this is my first time in Europe. I've been to some other countries, but I've never been to Europe. There were four channels that I could understand on the TV. One was the Disney Channel, but it wasn't even playing any of the good shows. It was all bad shows. Another was soccer all the time. Apparently, someone's playing soccer all the time in Europe. Someone somewhere is playing soccer. And then the other was the BBC News. And it was just fascinating to watch. The day that we were there, the British Parliament, I forget the numbers, it was 300 and something to 240, 250, voted in favor to move forward in allowing assisted suicide. And I sat there watching it, one, because of the nature of the conversation and how sad it made me. But two, watching it and how different news is over there. What's the longest news segment that you can think of that covers a topic, like on regular news? 2 minutes, maybe? Maybe three? They talked about it for 4 hours straight. 4 hours. Getting all the different opinions, all the different perspectives, all the different things. So as I sat there kind of coming and going, because at that time it was night on, we had two nights where we were in Paris. We got to like 6 o'clock and then had one of the night. I'd kind of come and go out of the room and like, oh, they're still talking about this. So it allowed me time to process what it was saying. People that had no hope would now legally according to the government, be allowed to have someone help them to end their lives. Great, great amount of debate. People saying why it was necessary and people saying there's no safeguard on this. There's absolutely nothing. And at the root of that is this idea of hope. This idea that no matter how bleak my circumstances are, as someone who is in Christ, I can trust God to work out everything for the good of those that love Him. My pain, my disease, my terminal illness, my depression, as overwhelming as it may be for some people, whatever this is, ultimately we have hope because we believe that what Isaiah 9 once prophesied has come true in Christ and will be true for us. That right now, if I am in Christ, I have peace with God and the peace of God. And because I have those things, I'm not walking in darkness. And please hear me, friends, because I know there are people in this room that depression is real. I am not saying that, hey, you have peace with God, smile, it'll be okay. Or one of my famous lines in marriage, I think I've shared this before. If not, I'll share it now. And, y'all can make fun of me later. One time Angie was expressing, I genuinely have no idea. This was a long time ago, y'all. I have no idea. She was expressing some level of disappointment about something. Do you remember what it was? Yeah, nah, we don't remember what it was. We just remember what I said next. And I said, okay, but I don't want you to feel that way. She was like, oh, okay. So great. Oh, I won't feel that way because you don't want me to, right? No one's saying, hey, I don't want you to feel that way, but I understand those aren't magic words, right? I'm not saying that depression, anxiety, those things aren't real. What I'm absolutely saying is in the midst of those real, very real things, the peace of God is also real. And peace with God is also real. And because of that, we can have hope no matter what we face. He will establish His government and kingdom with justice and righteousness. Not only now, from this time forth, but forevermore. And I love verse 7. The zeal, the passion, the desire, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will make sure that this promise is kept. This isn't something that God just kind of falls into. It's not that He's doing it reluctantly. He is passionate to see His kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. He desires to give us peace from Him. And because He is passionate, because it is His desire, He promised then that He would make it happen. And we saw Him keep that promise in Jesus. And because we believe today that He has kept His promise in Jesus, we believe that He will keep His promise again in Jesus. That just as Jesus came once, He will come again. But it doesn't change the fact that we find ourselves in the middle of waiting. Waiting for what is to be. We are decorated. We are set up. We have Jesus, yet we are waiting to experience it, Him in His fullness. Right now, we see partly, dimly. One day, we will see in full. But now, we wait. So then the question this Advent season is, what do we do while we wait? What do we need to remember? And thought it would be a good reminder. Again, a lot of y'all probably know this. I don't know how many of y'all know a lot of verses from Lamentations, but if you do, this is probably one of them, okay? Lamentations isn't a popular Bible reading plan. No one's like, oh, great, Lamentations, that sounds uplifting. Let's do that. Yet, in Lamentations 3, we have some very powerful reminders of what we do while we wait and how it brings us hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. I know. Golly, I know. I know there are times in our waiting that we're like, but is it real? Is it true? Will God really keep his promises? The word of God says the steadfast love of God does not fail. It does not go away. It does not falter. It does not end. It never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. His mercies never come to an end. There is not a day for those of us that are in Christ that we do not experience the mercies of God, which are new each morning. That yesterday's sins are covered. I don't have a tank. We drove home from Cincinnati. That's where we fly into yesterday, and got up this morning. We realized Sophie's car, it needs gas. My car, it needs gas. And I think sometimes we think that God's mercies are like that tank. They were like, whoop, used a lot on that trip. Really used a lot of that. Oh, today was a good day. I only used a little. Getting down to that red line, though. I wonder if today will be the day where they run out. Friends, you can't exhaust the mercies of God in Christ. And because of that, we can have hope. We can have hope that he is faithful to keep his promises and that he is faithful to love us even when we break our promises. His mercies do not come to an end. Verse 23, they are indeed new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. What do we do when we wait? How do we have hope when it seems dark? We remember that God's faithfulness is true. God's faithfulness is real. And sometimes we need to be reminded and need to remind ourselves of how many blessings we have in the middle of what seems like darkness around us. That I woke up today. That I woke up today, and that's a gift. That's grace, that's mercy, that's God's faithfulness. That I have the opportunity to breathe today. I have the opportunity to proclaim the word of the Lord today. I have the opportunity to love my family today. I have the opportunity to gather with my church, to be loved by my church family. I have the opportunity to be in alive in this country at this time. And you're like, yeah, but it's not great here. It's bad. How many people that don't live in this country you think would trade places with you now? And here's what's funny. Go talk to some of those believers in some of those countries. I think they're more aware of the faithfulness of God than we are. Why is that? I think sometimes because we're spoiled. We're spoiled. And we view temporary hardship is the abandonment of God, where some of our other brothers and sisters in Christ view hardship as opportunity to see God's faithfulness. View hardship as an opportunity to depend on God because they don't have anything else to prop them up. And in fact, that's what verse 24 says. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. Part of the reason some of us live disappointing lives is because we keep putting our hope in things that are bound to disappoint. We put our hope in things and stuff. We put our hope in people. We put our hope, heaven forbid, in social media. And I know that's kind of funny, but trust me, it's a thing. It's a thing. But as believers in Christ, as we wait for Jesus to come again, we must get used to this idea that the Lord is what I need. The Lord is my portion. He is the one that I will hope in. Y'all, we've been at this, what year is it, 24? Be 22 years in a couple weeks. But Angie can't be my hope. She can be my love, but she can't be my hope. Because only God can fill that need in my life. Only He can be my portion. He can be my hope. So what do we do while we wait? We remember, look at verse 25, that the Lord is good to those who wait for Him. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him. It's a weird thing to say. What does it mean that the Lord is good to those that wait for Him and to the soul who seeks Him? I think a good and helpful way to understand this is as we wait on God and as we seek God, we see God's goodness. We see the goodness of God. How often do we not see the goodness of God for the simple fact that we're looking everywhere but Him, but to Him? We're looking at everything but to Him. When we wait for Him, when we seek Him, as believers today, when we long to see Jesus, and in the meantime, we say, God, You will be my portion, we see God's goodness on display. When we say, God, You're all I have, we get opportunity for God to show us, You're right, and I'm enough. I'm enough. Verse 26, it is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It's good for us to wait on Jesus to come again. Y'all ever been at a family Christmas gathering? Thanksgiving, where there's a little kid and not everyone's come yet? So what's that little kid doing? Particularly if it's a grandpa or grandma that they love. Where's that little kid usually? At the front door, right? The glass door. And what do they look like? They're just waiting. They're waiting. And they're waiting because they know something is true. They know that that person they're looking for is going to come. And when they come, they know they're going to be picked up and embraced and held by that one that loves them so much. And while they wait, they're not worried about what's going on behind them. They just can't wait to see the one that they're waiting for. So friends, this Advent season, let's wait and let's hope. Not hope that God will come, but let's have hope because we know that Jesus is coming again. Let's have hope. Let's have excitement. Let's see the goodness of God as we wait on Him. It is my heartfelt prayer that you have Advent hope, excitement and waiting. And the only way to have that, the only way to be hopeful about Jesus coming again is to first believe that He has come once before. And He came to save us from our sins. He came so that we could be justified before the Father, so that we could be made right. He came and rules in perfect righteousness and forgives us of our unrighteousness, gives us His own righteousness for all that would believe in Him. So if you've never believed in Jesus, it is our prayer that you would find true hope this Advent season, not in the spectacle and not in the events, but in the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. I'm going to invite the team up, and as they come, we're going to sing one more song. I hope your prayer today is that you could wait on the Lord. And if you've never once said, Jesus, I believe that You are all that You said You are, that You are our hope. You are my hope. If you've never said that, I'd love to talk to you about what it means to follow Christ. I'm going to be standing in the back. For the rest of us, we're going to sing. And as we sing this song, let me encourage you to declare the hope that you have. To this season, remove the distraction and make room for seeing who God is and what he's accomplished for you in Christ. If you have questions about what it means to join East Point, I'd love to talk to you about that as well. However you need to respond, I'll be standing in the back as we sing together. Father God, please move in this time. Thank you, God, for the hope that we have in Christ. It's in him that we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us this week. If you're in the Louisville area, we would love to see you in person at our weekly service Sundays at 10 a.m. In the meantime, grace and peace, and we hope you'll join us again soon.